RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Who's seen the newsroom article claiming New Zealand doesn't have an excess death problem? It's been doing the rounds, this newsroom report, the truth about New Zealand's death rate that the COVID Commission will hear. And I'm going to read a bit of it. And it's an opinion piece by David Hood. Over 300 years ago, Edmund Halley published the first analysis of death rates by age, setting the basis for modern ways of measuring mortality. Today, incorrect claims about excess deaths in New Zealand are becoming more common as we approach phase two of the COVID-19 Royal Commission of Inquiry, and these claims seem to have either forgotten the centuries-old basic mathematical steps or are ignoring them. So for those who have heard claims of mass death and thought that can't be correct, you're right to be skeptical. The claims are demonstrably false. Can't think of a better person than Guy Hatchard to come on and comment about this. Guy, nice to have you back on RCR this morning.
Hi.
I'm going to try and sound and remain respectful in this. And there's probably something I could say right now which would completely nullify the need for an interview, but we won't do that because we need to fill the time. Just joking. Okay, you've seen the newsroom piece?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I wrote a piece rebutting it. First of all, he says that there are 23% more people living age 65 plus now than there were in 2017. Well, that's not true.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a problem first up.
It's not true because he forgot to do what he was accusing others of not doing. In other words, he didn't take account of the fact that the population has changed between 2017 and today.
Oh, yeah.
So if you look at it, taking into account the actual population, you know, kind of these are technical things, aren't they? In 2017, 15% of the population were over 60. Five, and in 2023, 16.6% of our population were over 65. So the actual rise is not 23%, it's 10.5%. And that sort of sets the tone of the mathematics in this article, by the way, which is not based on a scientific paper. It's written by someone who is, according to the newsroom, an IT trainer.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... That says it all then. We can all go home.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of, this is a sort of very technical paper, but so what I've done is to go through it all in real great detail, why we do know that there have been excess deaths and that people are getting sicker. So that the number of heart attacks, cancers, kidney disease and so on is increasing.
Yeah.
The number of call-outs for St. John's Ambulance is up. The number of people on disability has increased. In the last year, it's increased by 8%.
And disability is people working usually, isn't it?
Now, the disability is people who can't work. Yeah,
you know, about working age. No, it's forget the 65-plus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Forget the 65-plus. I mean, I really took offense at this article because the kind of sort of faint suggestion in the article was that people over 65 really don't matter as much.
Yeah, you know, that was I got that feeling
that I
too.
Got out of it.
Funny you say that. Same.
You see, the thing is, our life expectancy is not 65; it's 82. And if you get much lower than 82, you really have quite a low chance of dying, actually. If you're 70, your chance of dying in the next 12 months is less than 2% in New Zealand.
So is this piece, how would you describe this piece? Is it?
In my opinion, reading it through and analysing it, it's designed to influence public opinion.
Right.
And there's an awful lot of that going on at the moment. I think we're seeing it throughout the media. We're seeing it in the government. We're seeing people sort of cavalier about the truth, cavalier about facts and figures. And yeah, they're really not letting on what's going on. I mean, there's an article in Stuff yesterday that what was the highest performing stock in New Zealand in the last few years? And it was a company, I can't remember the name of it now, but I looked it up. And it was a biotech company. And sure, it did perform really well for a year. But now it's right down to rock bottom. Its shares are worth 10 cents because it was all based on hype. It was all based on, yes, we're going to cure cancer, or yes, we're going to do this or that, the other thing. You must invest. We do need government grants. Biotech is a world of hype.
And the market always decides in the end, doesn't it? Because it's money, and you don't throw money into things that aren't going to give you a return in the end. It's like the insurance companies, right?
Yeah, but then you've got financial instruments now, which are very sophisticated. So there are people who are continuously making money out of failing companies because they know when to invest and build up the hype, and then they sell. And the people who went in on their coattails are the ones who lose money. And it's a continuous hype as well. Yeah, it's a sort of the next great cure is always around the corner. And, you know, biotech is the future because, they invented synthetic insulin. And you look at diabetes, insulin is used to treat diabetes.
And how's that working out?
Well, since 1978, when it was invented, the inventors have become billionaires. And the incidence of diabetes has multiplied fivefold.
Yeah.
And insulin resistance is now one of our biggest problems in the world.
Yeah, no, we're well aware of that. Another piece that sort of jumped out at me, and he talks about, this is David Hood, who did the report that's being covered here in the newsroom, talking about rare risk from vaccination needs to be compared to the genuine mass death that occurred during COVID waves in countries with the lowest levels of vaccination, Bulgaria, Serbia, that published death rates by age. Have there been mass deaths from COVID?
Bulgaria and Serbia certainly had high death rates during the pandemic.
Yeah.
When there was Alpha and Delta, and they shared those very high death rates with lots of countries, including countries with vaccination. But since then, their death rate, they didn't have a highly vaccinated population. Their death rate has gone right back to normal.
So they're not having excess deaths like we are?
No, not at all. No, they had a difficult time, as most people and most countries in Europe did during the pandemic, in the first year of the pandemic. But since then, they're just back to normal. It's not an issue there. Whereas the highly vaccinated countries, and this is not just one or two of them, this is all of the highly vaccinated countries, the US, the UK, the European, most of the Western European countries, they have a continuing problem, along with us here in New Zealand and in Australia, with excess deaths. And it's extraordinary. I mean, I just found it astounding that the editors of Newsroom, whoever they are, they say they're an independent journalist. How would they even print this piece? I mean, it's basically asserting that nothing happened during the pandemic in New Zealand. It's sort of saying no one extra died at all. It was just normal. But that's absurd. And everyone knows it's absurd.
Well, we have anecdotal evidence, all of us, that this is happening. And okay, if it's one person, but it's everybody that I talk to.
Well, it's not just anecdotal evidence, is it? You look at the number of people who were dying as a rate before the pandemic. So that's the 10 years before the pandemic. We had an average rate of 6.8 people per 1,000 dying in any given year. And then after when we started the vaccination, that rose to 7.1. And that means there were about 6,300 excess deaths that when you calculate. And this is all population adjusted. And so that's how many excess deaths there were, according to the official figures.
So this, you think, is a more of a PR messaging exercise?
Well, it's hard to understand. I mean, today I think people are very polarized. They have very strong opinions. and they want to, you know, they want to assert their opinions, and they're doing so in the media. They want us all to be the same, for goodness sake. They want everyone, they feel annoyed. They feel annoyed that people have opinions that are not the same as theirs.
There's no mention here of, how do I put it, of why people have been vaccinated to get the thing over and over and over again. Because
well,
that seems to be...
That's due to IgG4.
I know, but that production. Shoots down the whole reason for getting it in the first place. It doesn't, clearly doesn't frickin' work.
Yeah. No, I mean, that obvious, it's obvious to everyone it doesn't work. I mean, why, you know, when we're hearing, you know, we need to have more people vaccinated and so on, you know, Michael Baker's always banging on about it. You know, we should be wearing masks, ventilating, social distancing.
They always talk about ventilating schools, don't they? Oh, really?
Again and
open
again.
Open the windows.
And but simply put, we all know that the vaccination doesn't work. We all know that the government signed an agreement with Pfizer, giving them, making sure they had no liability if anything went wrong. We all know what the process of science involves: looking around, looking for independent verification of facts and multiple experiments, and yet we were consistently told we were stupid if we were looking around. I mean, these are straightforward things, aren't they? We've been totally gaslit.
And no mention of why the actual proper stats haven't been released. Surely, if you're going to write an opinion piece and consider everything, that is like the brightest neon arrow pointing at a particular thing in the universe right there. There's no mention of that.
Well, it's so simple. You just, and the health department has all these statistics. They should just compare the health outcomes and the mortality rates of the vaccinated with the unvaccinated.
And that was my comment at the start. You say that, and it's all over, Rover.
It's all over. Yeah, we can all go home. But it's now actually illegal in New Zealand to discuss bring out any of these figures. And the staff at Health New Zealand, there was an article a couple of days ago I was looking at now, where they now, and a lot of them are being asked to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, that they won't discuss any issues to do with the health service.
Yeah. Well, that's... Well, we know why. Talking about Michael Baker and his colleague Amanda Kvalsvig. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we know her. Yes.
Yeah, they're saying that the government can take immediate action to reduce the joint health and economic burden by improving COVID vaccination eligibility and coverage and intensifying interventions that reduce community spread of COVID-19. They're still banging that on. And Eric Crampton, who is the economist for the New Zealand Initiative, I just want to read this, get your comment. When COVID was more of a live policy issue, I was getting a lot of really unhinged emails about vaccines, so I kept running an Excel sheet, tracking it, running method similar to, but cruder than yours, talking about the piece that we're talking about. Very easy to show that deaths were lower than expected from pre-COVID. Very hard for that to sway those determined to believe otherwise, alas.
Well, this latest kind of announcement by Michael Baker et al. Is that, and this is kind of odd because what they're saying is there are an awful lot of people who have long COVID, who can't work, who need health care. And it's going to be a huge burden on our economy. So they've woken up to the fact of what we've been saying for a long time now, that the number of disabled people is increasing, the number of sick people is increasing, and the number of people needing healthcare, hospital healthcare, is increasing dramatically. And they've sort of turned the whole argument on its head by saying, oh, this is all long COVID. Well, if they haven't released any comparison of the vaccinated with the unvaccinated as far as their health care issues are concerned, then how come they're labeling it long COVID? It's a sort of odd thing because they're admitting now something that they haven't admitted before, that there is a real health crisis.
But they're
trying to say, well, it wasn't me, it wasn't the vaccine. More people should get vaccinated is what they're saying.
Wait on, if you've got long COVID, can you vaccinate your way out of something like that?
I mean, again, here, you know, you've got to look at the scientific papers. There are a lot of doubts about long COVID. Assessments are revealing long COVID is very similar to what people suffer after a bout of flu. Statistically speaking, that doesn't mean to say I'm trying to gaslight anyone who has, you know, a long-standing problem as a result of COVID. That is a thing. Yeah, sure. But statistically speaking, it's very similar to the profile after flu. And that influences the economy. But what we're asking here is, without revealing the statistics of the difference between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, we don't really know it's long COVID. Now, here's the other thing. Doesn't really matter anyway, because COVID came out of the lab, that we know, that's admitted, and the vaccine came out of a lab. They were both products of biotechnology experimentation. So why is the government planning to deregulate biotechnology?
Well, I've been asking this question to virtually every guest that we have on, especially those who are in favour of it. You know, how can you be considering this when we've already seen the most epic disaster we could ever imagine? It's like it never happened. And it's like they haven't thought of that.
They're sleepwalking into disaster, aren't they? I mean,
it blows my mind.
Well, yeah. I know our minds are not blown.
Easily.
It's someone else who's got the
blame. Oh, yeah, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, going on with that.
We're talking common sense here. We're talking statistics. I mean, I publish these statistics two or three times a week at the Hatchard Report and look into these things based on official figures and very carefully. And I work in the field of statistics. And why are the government doing what they're doing? It's a sort of madness. I come back to Helen Doudna, who was Jennifer Doudna, who invented CRISPR. And when you read her book, she had real doubts about the safety. But then she attended a conference, I think it was in Asilomar in 2015. And, you know, several hundred biotech people who were all doing strange and wonderful things got together. And once they were all together, they all said, we don't want to be regulated. We're doing something good. We should be allowed to do whatever we want to do. So they kind of feed off one another.
Yeah.
And this is what is kind of sort of affecting the government. They're weak-minded people, actually, in my opinion, who are drifting into disaster. They're coming out and saying, oh, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to make a lot of money and the grass is going to be greener and everybody will want to eat what New Zealand produces from their laboratories. You know, it's just piffle.
That's the other thing I've banged on about, not trying to make it about me, but it's the responses that are interesting. I've even asked Judith Collins, I said, do you think you have to be wary of people who are overly excited about this, that are too enthusiastic and have sort of like, you know, taking the Kool-Aid and just, you know, are beaming about it. It's very, for a weak-minded person, it's easy to get caught up in that vortex is what I'm thinking, you know, like just like you're saying.
Yeah, well, as I said, the people who invented insulin, synthetic insulin, they became billionaires and they formed companies. And that is the kind of modus operandi of the way of operating of biotech now. Every university, every biotech department, biology department in universities, their aim is to invent something, patent it, and become a billionaire.
Yeah.
And that's not science. That's a kind of, a lolly rush. That's what's happened. And that's what the people that I know in the serious side of biotech industry trying to find a way through the maze and provide some kind of relief and so on for people suffering from genetic disorders. They're just appalled. They're appalled at the way people are trying to commercialize risky, dangerous procedures.
Yeah. Okay. So until we have statistics that show vaccinated versus non-vaccinated, this is just a waste of time, isn't it, really?
Yeah, goodbye. I'm not talking to you today. show me the figures and we can have a conversation. Otherwise, I'm going to go and do my own thing. And I'm not the crazy one here.
And why not mention it in your article if you're worth your salt? Because that's the elephant in the room right there.
Yeah.
It's easy pickings, low-hanging fruit.
He said the real way to decide if there are excess deaths. Well, the real way is to just publish the statistics so that you can actually find out what's going on instead of hiding the statistics. I mean, you know, you don't even need a sense of smell to smell a rat in this.
No, that's right. What as Graham Hood says, it's, there's a rat in the cheese factory. I like that one. And of course, he's coming for NZDSOS. And how's it going with the campaign for global legislation outlawing biotechnology experimentation global?
I'm connecting with people slowly but surely. Robert Malone, you know, who's the so-called inventor of MR.
I think we'll have him on sometime soon.
Yeah, he reprinted one of my articles recently. And, it's a slow process because... Yeah, this is a vast trillion-dollar industry, biotechnology, and standing up against that is, you know, people are very wary. I've had people writing to me saying privately that this has really gone wrong, and then saying, please don't mention my name.
Please don't tell me. Yeah, don't say.
I was a close friend of John Fagan, who was a molecular biologist in the 90s, and he had a grant from NIH, National Institute of Health in the US, $5 million grant to do research looking for a cure for cancer using molecular biology. And at a certain point in his research, he realized that it was dangerous. It was very risky.
Right.
And it wasn't working out. Yeah. And he handed back that grant to NIH.
Gee, that was honest.
And then he came out publicly and said, this is dangerous stuff. We don't want to go there. And that's, you know, there are not a lot of people in the world who hand back their $5 million prize money.
No, would I? Would I? I'm asking myself now, would I do that? Yeah, well, you know, can we look at something else? Keep the money, we'll do something else. No.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, it's a big step for people, but... On the other hand, I think more and more people are coming to the party. We're getting more subscribers, and we're getting more subscribers from a much broader base overseas. We're seeing our articles reprinted on a broader, much broader platforms. And I think there are very reasons to be optimistic there. We've seen RFK Junior, forming an allegiance with Trump, and Trump asking questions about the vaccine, and so there are people waking up to the extent of the dangers, and the extent of the dangers is huge, and we should know. You said it, it's so obvious. I mean, that this gain of function research to weaponize a sort of form of influenza coronavirus, it went around the world in a matter of days.
Yeah. And that was so they could understand pathogens that might be a threat. Well, thank you very much.
Well, they were creating pathogens that deliberately going to be a threat.
Yeah, yeah,
BioWare. And they're still doing it. They're still doing it. And the holy grail of biotechnology is self-replicating genetic structures.
I've seen a few videos on that lately, Guy.
Yeah, well, in Japan, they're...
And I know it's been going for a while.
Self-amplifying vaccine that they're developing. Well, yeah, when we're talking about things that can reproduce, you can't stop them. Once they're out there, they can go, you know, they can do what they want to do. They've got a life. Yeah. You've created some kind of mutated
Frankenstein type thing. Yeah.
I mean, these are not, fantasies. We should know it's not a fantasy because we've just been through it. We've just been through the pandemic. And it was a very unstable virus that they created. And that's why it has such a high rate of mutation, much higher than a naturally occurring influenza. It's not stable. And it still has a way to go with its mutation as well.
Wow. Okay. All right, Guy. For those who haven't heard of or seen the piece, go to newsroom.co.nz and it's the truth about New Zealand's death rate that the COVID Commission will hear. And if you want to see what Guy's had to say about it, go to thehatchyardreport.com, right, Guy?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's an article there which picks it apart.
I'm sure it does.
And it's called No One Need Allow Themselves to Be Fooled for a Second Time.
All right. Nice to have you back on, Guy. Thanks.
It's great, Paul. Lovely to be with you.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.